Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, this is Bruce Norris. Welcome to our show. Our guest today, once again, is Leslie Appleton Young. She's the Vice President and Chief Economist for the California Association of Realtors. Leslie oversees the analysis of the housing market and brokerage industry trends, and then shares them with the membership. Leslie, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Bruce.
I was reading on the CAR website something that was amazing to me, the CAR Payment Protection Program. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I can. We have a housing affordability fund as part of the California Association of Realtors. It was actually formed, I think it was around 2002 when housing affordability was not good.
Zero.
Getting
pretty
worse.
Much.
Right. And it has, been a fundraising arm, and there is a group of members of kind of a rotating committee that gets proposals from local associations for various projects, and sometimes it's a habitat project, and there's just a lot of creativity, a lot of wonderful things going on. And as we've kind of gone into this downturn, the committee felt very, very strongly that we needed to do something different, that we needed to do something statewide, and we needed to do something that had the potential to impact the market in a positive way. And you can read that as put more people into homes.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that seems to be an issue is confidence, and we've discussed in the first segment the role that job losses are playing in creating fear and uncertainty and so on and so forth. So essentially they came up with a program and have allocated $1 million out of the Housing Affordability Fund to pay a premium on an insurance policy for a qualified first-time home buyer who utilizes the services of a California realtor. And essentially there are, criteria of a first-time buyer is defined as someone who hasn't owned a home in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have been employed for a minimum of 4 months, and the policy would not begin to pay on a job loss situation for 6 months. So there's kind of a six-month waiting period, and then the policy will pay up to $1,500 of the mortgage payment for 6 months. And if there are two buyers buying the home...
Is that a couple?
That qualify, yes, a couple of some type.
Okay.
The second buyer would get a $750 benefit.
So $2,250 a month is possible for a joint ownership,
right.
I guess.
Right. So essentially it's available through a California realtor, and we've gotten just a tremendous response. Now the application process does not take place until the close of escrow. So we haven't been able to kind of measure the impact, but the buzz has been really, really gratifying, and we're hoping that it will make a difference, and we'll be able to help about 3,000 first-time homebuyer families. I mean, it may be a little bit less depending on how many of them are both
correct
dual first-time buyers, but that's essentially the essence of the program.
And the money doesn't have to be paid back?
No.
Wow.
Well, it's an insurance policy.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's pretty fantastic. Well,
yeah.
Having anything that could prevent 3,000 bank-owned properties at this point is a big deal.
Absolutely. Or help 3,000 people who are on the fence right now feel like, well, you know what? This is an insurance policy. I think I'm ready to make a decision. So, that's what we're hoping for.
Okay. What encourages you most about the California market as we sit right now?
I think that what I've seen in the last year and a half has been a tremendous resiliency. To go from 650,000 transactions at an annual pace in 2005, 5 at the peak of the market.
And a very different price. So commission checks are very big.
And a $600,000, you know, median price.
Mm-hmm.
And to go down in a year and a half to a $270,000, you know, to see a 44% contraction. And, you know, this varies from region to region. Some areas, and if you look at really the from the Inland Empire up to north of Sacramento, that's where it would hit first, hardest, and longest. That was really jarring. And to be able to look at that those same areas today and see the volume of transactions, really, you know, it's kind of like a forest fire. And then within 3 weeks, you start to see the green seedlings come up.
Okay.
That's what it seems like to me, you know. And as I said, being at that first-time home buyer fair last weekend, and I think total we had for both days, we had over 7,000 attendees. It was really gratifying. And, you know, this whole, you know, evolution to looking at a house more as an investment than as my home and my community and my lifestyle, I think it got out of whack. And what I see is that people are looking at housing as, you know, where they live and who they are. And the financial aspects, of course, are very important, very important. But it's not like I'm a day trader with my house. And I think that's very, very healthy for us to go back to the way it was.
I agree with that. And you know what? I don't think that will negate the fact that we have price increases in the future, but I think we won't have gotten into the homes for the crazy reason that that's why we're there.
Right.
And that's a good idea.
Yes. It's the motivation and the expectations that get you.
You know, one of the things that I've looked at for years is the migration patterns, and I'm sure we're losing migration right now, but when we get settled with our job picture, I would have to believe that California would get migration from every state in the country because we're a very desirable location and our monthly payment will be lower in ratio of earnings probably here than wherever they are.
Yeah, I think housing affordability is going to be a very, very strong draw. You know, it's interesting. There are so many socioeconomic and demographic changes going on in society. It's really hard to know where we're going to come out of all of this. You know, I think one of the things that is going to have to happen is kind of create more livable cities.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that will be a positive that comes out of all the, you know, infrastructure programs that we're going to be getting, because there's no doubt that technology enables you to live and work pretty much anywhere, you know, depending on what your job is. But for a lot of people, the location is less relevant. And I've heard people argue that, you know, this younger generation is going to be more mobile because they are going to have 8 jobs in their career instead of just 1 or 2. Like the boomers. So I think you raise a really interesting question, and I don't disagree that we're going to get more in migration, and certainly the birth rate in California is strong. But it's going to be interesting to see how it all kind of plays itself out.
The group I think that might be very attracted to California is the baby boomer that's retiring, and they have a choice to pay a $300 gas bill to heat their home so they don't, you know, freeze to death in the winter, or they can go to California where you could actually survive without a heater.
Absolutely. That's always a huge, you know, climate is huge.
And, yeah,
decision.
The traditional buyer, I've looked at your charts again. You've done a tremendous job showing us the transition that's taken place in literally just a half a dozen years of how people shop for houses.
Right.
And the traditional buyer, which would be more the person that probably hires the realtor that they knew or they drive by the sign, has really been almost replaced, and they've changed places in percentage with the online buyers. And that's true, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Sometimes it's a little bit of a quandary how to analyze all the numbers. There is no doubt that the great majority, and I think in this, our most recent survey, it's 78% of the buyers say, yes, I use the internet as a significant part of my home buying and selection process.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are saying, I found my agent on the web, on the internet. But the reality is, different surveys come up with different results on that particular item. And what I've, and I've talked to a number of brokers who have said, you know, I'm not getting that at all, you know. And what we've kind of figured out is that sometimes, you know, someone will, you know, be in a in an area, maybe renting, and see realtor advertising or get direct mail from a realtor for 5 years. And then when they're ready to look for a home, they're going online and they're doing all this online, going to sites, blah, 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 and they end up calling an agent, but it's someone who has mind recognition from all that advertising. So it's that's my really the only way I can kind of justify the difference in results about where they find their realtor. And I unfortunately have to tell the members of our association that they can't, in good conscience, only do one type of advertising, you know, unless they want to, you know, really narrow themselves that way.
Mm-hmm.
All that being said, I mean, and I'll, my classic example is a dear friend of mine who got this wonderful celebrity listing in Encino and just had a lot of photography going on and so forth. And I was kind of saying, you know, I don't know why you're doing all that, you know, just put it on the web and blah, blah, blah. And the person that bought the home came to him through the brother, saw one of those slick real estate magazines, tore the ad out, put it in the mail, put it in an envelope with an actual stamp, mailed it. The brother got it and ended up buying the house. So it was kind of like I really retreated from saying, you know, only online advertising. All that being said, when we asked the buyers, and this, again, was a survey of people who had purchased in the last 6 months. When we asked them if they used print in their home search, only 20% said that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And of that 20, 75% said they looked at the weekend supplements for open houses. So that was the primary print impact.
So it's constantly changing. If you're a realtor, you always have to understand that your customer may be up to something new.
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting. I know a lot. I obviously have a lot of friends in the business at this point, and it's not uncommon to see a team where, you know, one is an old-time realtor in their early 60s, just great experience, very successful, pairing up with a 25 or 30 year old.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're able to cover both.
There you go.
Both the, yeah, it really seems to work out quite well.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. You and your daughter.
Uh-huh. I think she's following her mother's interest. She's a massage therapist. So.
Okay, all right.
But she can count money pretty well. So once she gets equity, she'll probably go and, I like that, Dad.
Right, this is fun, yeah.
Let's talk about a trend that I see coming that's going to have to play out, and there's two factors to it. There's something called shadow inventory.
Yes.
And there's a pile of notices of default that have grown extremely quickly that will ultimately play out into trustees' deeds and more REOs.
Right.
So I look at that pile and I think that the inventory levels right at the moment are giving us a little bit of a false indicator. So I just wondered what you thought about that. I really think the REOs are going to play a very big role before the end of the summer again.
You know what? I definitely agree with you. I think we are going to see a second wave of foreclosures, and I've been saying the fourth quarter of this year. It might be a month or two earlier, but absolutely. You still have two forces working in that direction, and one, as you mentioned, the NODs that are just being filed right now. You have the Alt A and the option arm,
mm-hmm.
that will be, you know, we're typically 5-year fixed. So those are going to start adjusting in the second half of this year. And then you have the continued loss of jobs. So it's hard to find a number, and I've asked lenders, you know, how much inventory do you have that you're not sharing? And for the most part, I'm hearing it's out there. But clearly there are bottlenecks, you know, and these things, it takes a long time to get these properties listed. You have the Obama initiative for loan mod. You have, foreclosure mitigation. You have all these infrastructure projects. Hopefully all of that will help to some extent, but I'm not even tempted by the thought that it is going to mitigate what you are describing, which is a second wave, and I think we need to be prepared for it. So the data today is accurate for today,
mm-hmm.
but it's not, I don't see it as a downward permanent trend. You know, I think we're going to see a double dip or a double crest here.
Sure. Now, one thing that I've looked at is the mix of inventory that's for sale in the MLS. And in 96 and 97, compared to, say, 2008, there's something like three times the ratio of foreclosed properties to normal listings.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one ratio I see that has to rectify itself before you return to a normal price environment, is you have to get through the bulk of these REOs. And I hope you're accurate that the shadow inventory is, in fact, a figment of somebody's computer imagination.
I don't know. I've just been trying to track it down and get data, and I have not been successful. I've certainly heard people talking about it a lot.
Yeah, you know Rick Sharga, I think, of Realty
yes.
Track, and it's their feeling there's a lot of it. We actually hired a company that did some research for us on some very specific areas, and what they did is they tracked the trustee's deed back to the lender and could never find it reemerge as either a grant deed or even a listing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the percentages were not pleasant.
Yeah.
So somebody's, either they're wrong or they're just, there's a lot of inventory that's maybe going to show up that we don't expect.
Right.
And that's a little bit of an unknown.
Right. But I certainly agree with you. We have to work through the foreclosures before we're going to get back to a normal market with staying power. In terms of pricing.
Well, that brings up my favorite topic, financing for investors.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that happened during one of the President Obama's speeches, he said that we're going to give $75 billion directed to the loan modifications and so forth. And then his next sentence was, and not $1 of it will go to investors. And there was cheers.
Yeah.
And I thought, please don't confuse investors with speculators. Those are two different things.
Yeah, I think there's a feeling that he was referring to. I mean, I would think flippers and that kind of.
Yeah, those bad guys that flip. Yeah, but I'm one of those too. So,
right. I know.
You know what's interesting about that? And there's maybe I can get your feeling on that. There's a loan that's a 203K loan, which is basically an FHA product that you can buy a fixer-upper, and built into the loan is the principal that, you know, your purchase price plus the repair. So it really takes a lot of the repaired or the unrepaired property and makes them sellable to the owner-occupant even. So that's a great loan program. The problem is there's so many vacant properties, and they haven't reopened that loan to investors yet. And that's one of the reasons why the 90s got solved, was that loan was available. So I'm hoping that someday soon they'll reactivate that for investors. Just in general, how do realtors view investors? Do you have a sense of that?
A very important part of the market.
Really?
Obviously.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
I would definitely think so.
I mean,
that's one of the forces behind the strength of the market right now.
Well, I think they certainly have a job to do. You know, there's a lot of vacant properties that need work, and they're not going to have typically a conventional lender say, yeah, I'd love to loan on that.
Listen, you know, I would say just, and again, I don't don't mean to, would certainly not represent myself as speaking for all California realtors at all, but certainly the industry is extremely entrepreneurial. And, you know, that's what it's all about.
Okay.
You know? So.
Well, that's what we're doing our share of trying to buy those properties and fix them and either keep them as rentals, because this is an exciting time for us.
Well, it is. I think one of the issues that I have heard raised, though, is that the first-time buyers are really having a difficult time competing with investors.
And you know,
I don't know if you've heard that or not.
Oh, sure, sure. But you know, what's interesting about that is it is usually with properties that they would ultimately find the lender wouldn't fund. And so, in kind of defense of the REO agent, we're getting offers sometimes accepted when they are really almost protecting the owner-occupant from a failure in 30 or 45 days down the road.
Got it.
Because it wouldn't have funded anyway.
Yeah.
And so sometimes they make offers and they're not really being seriously considered just for the condition
of the property.
Yeah, and that's part of it.
Yeah.
So there's just, it's the inventory is just not going to work for a conventional loan at this point.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, there's a certain degree of exuberance with respect to expectations, you know, and feeling like this foreclosure is going to be granite, turnkey, perfect, and I'm going to get it for, you know, 30 cents on the dollar from what it sold for 3 years ago. And that's not typically the case. I mean, the foreclosures tend to not be, the ones that are in good condition go quickly, and the ones that are great bargains need work.
That's right. Yeah, we usually earn any margin we end up getting.
Absolutely, absolutely.
There's a couple of trends that are working their way through Senate, and one of them is called a cram down. Just curious how you felt about that, where the bankruptcy judge will be given the ultimate decision, perhaps, on what the final loan payment or balance would be.
Yeah, you know, our association has been opposed to cram downs since they were first, you know, an issue years and years and years ago. And the problem that we see is that once you start allowing allowing cram downs, it's going to increase the cost of financing for everybody else. So this policy is being looked at more, obviously, today because the situation in the markets is very difficult and different, and maybe calls for a different response. But at least as of yet, there has been no change in a policy that says this is really, really a bad idea with respect to the principal residence.
I think that's a scary thing to start, because then you're actually bonusing people for declaring bankruptcy, as opposed to, that's usually something you don't want to do because it prevents you from getting a loan. Now it would actually assist you in getting a better one.
Right.
That would be dangerous.
Yeah, so I definitely think we're on the same wavelength with that issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you look at all the statistics that you have, what's the one category when you see improvement in that you go, oh, we're now going to come back and we are going to have a healthier market?
Well, I think you mentioned it. It's inventory and foreclosures.
Okay.
You know, absolutely. Because the price data, and certainly the aggregate data, even for a city, it's hard to analyze. It's hard to analyze exactly what it means, because as you said, you know, the properties can be very, very different condition. The appraisals come in a little strange. Like, what's really going on? The two pigs in the python are past foreclosures and future foreclosures. And future, to a certain extent, is unknown because it all depends on how quickly or slowly the economy reinvents itself. So I look at supply probably first.
We've got about 30 seconds. I wanted to sneak this one in. The policies that we are implementing, do you see interest rates remaining at these low rates for a very considerable length of time? Or?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I think we're going to see significantly higher rates 3 years out.
Okay. And that means, honestly, the price and the interest rate combination is an amazing bargain right now.
Absolutely.
Well, Leslie, we've had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been great.
Thank you so much for joining us again.
You're welcome. My pleasure, Bruce. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.